Is there a timeline to your discovery of how much money laundering was going on in the government, the great extent of this tapeworm economy?
The first thing that happened to me when I became assistant secretary is I called in the person in charge of the budget because I'd read the laws, and the law said that I, as commissioner, had sole fiduciary responsibility for $300 billion of mortgage insurance, and most of that was required by law to be run on a self-supporting basis. So we had to charge premiums for our mortgage insurance sufficient to cover our expenses, and so I was required to make sure we were doing that. So I asked for the financials, and he said, well, we don't have financials, but I'll give you the budget. And the budget went from about, you know, the floor halfway to the ceiling, and it was so thick. And I read it four times and called him back in, and I said, nowhere in here does it say if we're making or losing money. And he said, we were originating at the time about $50 to $100 billion a year of mortgage insurance. And I said, well, you know, where can I get the information as to whether we're making or losing money? And he said, well, the accountants have that. And I said, well, where are the accountants? I want to talk to them. And he said, they report to another assistant secretary, and you're not allowed to speak to them.
What? Hello? What? Why not?
I said, well, that's going to change. And I lobbied the White House and the secretary's office. It took 3 months. I got the accountants moved over to report to me, and it turned out that we were losing $11 million a day in the single family fund. So I said to the accountants, well, where? We have 10 federal regions and 80 field offices. Where are we losing the money? And they said, well, we don't keep that information. So I said, you mean the field offices don't know how much they're making or losing? They said, no, they don't know. And I said, well, look, we mail out checks. You know, we have zip codes. This is an emergency. I want place-based information.
Right.
It shows me by place how much we're making or losing. So it turned out they came back and did a crash thing, came back, and it turned out we're making and losing, or making money in eight regions and losing 100% plus more in two. One of those regions was the Texas region, which included Arkansas, and the other was the Colorado region. So I called the head of the Texas region, who is really one of our finest field office regional managers. And I said, Sam, how much do you think you lost last year? I said, how do you think you're doing? He said, oh, I think we're breaking even. And I said, well, you lost $2 billion last year. I'm faxing the cash flow estimates down, and I'm flying down. I'll be down tomorrow to talk about, you know, what we're going to do about this.
Right.
But he didn't even know. And so that's, when I became a big believer in much better accounting and reporting and place-based information, on particularly on government credit and spending. And
okay.
Then what you'll see if you read the Dylan Reed story is the history of the federal government really can be told not by the thing that goes wrong, but all the people who were run out of government when they tried to implement the things that we all know we need if this is not going to happen. In other words, we knew my job was to clean up the last housing bubble, and I and a group of people implemented everything you need to have in place to make sure it can't happen again. And that group of people was run out, you know, so that it could happen again.
Well, what happened when you flew down to see Sam? What happened when you got down there? Did you fix the problem?
Absolutely. It's real funny. I got down to Fort Worth, and Sam and the team had gone off into sort of, you know, a back room outside the office. They called in the field office managers and already come with a game plan with everything they had to do. We instituted audited financial statements, and OMB picked up on it and instituted it government-wide, which is how the reports have now come out about all the money missing. That's how we know it. And, but I was fired by Jack Kemp, probably 6 to 12 months later. I'd have to go back and look at the exact time. But essentially, you know, I, like most clean officials, ran into trouble trying to get the financial pieces of the government to run on a transparent basis in accordance with law. I mean, we have, as part of the Constitution, you're not allowed to spend money that is not appropriated by Congress. But we now have a situation where we're spending significant amounts of money not appropriated by Congress You know, if you go to my website, there's a tremendous amount about the missing money. It's now coming out there's missing money in Iraq, but this is basically illegal. In 2002, I went to visit with, I went to visit with the chief of staff to the appropriation chair of the committee overseeing HUD on the appropriations committee. And they said to me, what do you think is going on at HUD? And I said, I was in the process of trying to get my company paid. And I said, I don't know. What do you think is going on? And they looked at me and said, HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise. And I said, I don't disagree.
Okay. And as a criminal enterprise, meaning what? I understand the sketch of it, but.
Meaning that the financial operations are not being run in accordance with law. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
In fiscal 1998, so that was beginning in October 1997, HUD reported $17 billion missing. And then the following year, $59 billion, it had $59 billion of undocumentable adjustments, and the Inspector General just refused to produce financial statements and audited and just said it can't be done and refused.
Okay.
And moreover, never got to the bottom of where the $59 billion was, how much was missing, where it was, who got it. Now, that's not legal. You can't spend money according to the Constitution unless it's been appropriated by Congress.
Where did that $59 billion go?
Well, no one knows.
I mean, where would you guess it went? Who's likely to get a piece of that $59 billion?
Well, I'll give you my best guess as to where it went. In 1997, I made a presentation to top pension fund leaders and advisors, really sort of a wonderful group of people. And we had my company, Hamilton Securities Group, have been for years prototyping how we could turn this around, how we could get the economy to be much more productive. We were concerned that the U.S. economy was losing productivity. And so the question was, how could we do it? And what we realized was that government money was increasingly being spent and organized to generate stock market profits for big companies as opposed to fundamental productivity. And so we had sort of a vision on how you could re-engineer government investment by place in a way that would really significantly improve productivity and would generate significant long-term profits for pension funds, which was important because we needed the pension funds to do well to support retirees. And in the middle of the presentation, the head of CalPERS, which is the largest equity, largest pension fund in the country, it's one of the California public employees funds, said to me, "You don't understand. It's too late." And I said, "What do you mean it's too late?" And he said, he didn't say who they was. He said, "They have given up on the country. And they are moving all the money out of the country starting in the fall. They're moving it all to Asia." And what he was describing was the process of taking capital out of one economy where productivity is falling and the population is aging and moving it to areas of the world where the economy is much more dynamic and productivity is rising. And I thought he meant that they were moving money that could be legally moved. And now what I believe is that we bubble the economy with a variety of different kinds of debt, one of which was the housing and mortgage bubble debt, and proceeded to pull significant amounts of all capital that could be pulled, including out of the government, and simply moved it into investment abroad. Mm. And I think the $4 trillion pulled out during that time period was simply capital being pulled out of the U.S. economy.